This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we'll begin with our sixth session today on the class of Asma'ullah al-Husna, the most beautiful, the most excellent names of Allah the Exalted. And we will begin with the name Al-Afu. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Afu, the ever-pardoning, the ever-forgiving, is mentioned many times in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًّا غَفُورًا, that indeed Allah is ever pardoning and forgiving, meaning he is extremely pardoning, he is afu, and he is ghafoor, meaning very forgiving. So the name afu occurs five times in the Quran, and afu basically means the one who does afu, meaning the one who pardons. And when we look at the word afu, afu basically means to erase the traces of something. And it also means to exceed in giving. So basically, afu has two meanings. The first meaning is to erase the traces of something. Like for example, afa al-athar means when the traces of, you know, someone's footsteps, footprints have been erased. Or for example, afa al-manzil, afa al-dar is when the traces of a house even have been erased, meaning there's no sign even left that there was a house, there was a building over here once upon a time. Afatirrihu is when the wind erases, you know, for example, the footprints of someone from the sand. So this is the primary meaning of the word afu, meaning to erase, to wipe off, to completely obliterate. And then we see that in this meaning, afautu, like for example, when a person says afautu, it basically means that I have erased so-and-so's mistake, meaning I did not punish them. I did not take revenge from them. I just left them as they were. So afa basically is to do i'rad, meaning to turn away from someone's mistake, from someone's error, from their wrongdoing, to completely turn away, to not punish, to not hold accountable, so it means a tark, right? To leave, meaning to not punish. And then, as I mentioned earlier, afu also means to exceed in giving. So for example, in the Quran, it is said that they ask about what they should spend. So قُلِ الْعَفْوَ, say, meaning tell people that they should give that which is afu, meaning that which is extra. So afu is fadl, right? To that which is more, or that which is extra, or you could say surplus. So when it comes to giving, one way of giving is that you only give what someone needs, what is essential for them. But then afu is to give them more than necessary, to be very, very generous towards them. And this is not just in terms of, you know, money or material things, but also in terms of, you know, facilitating or creating ease for someone. So al-afu is who, is what? Al-afu is, now we have two meanings. The first meaning is to erase the sins, to not punish, to not hold responsible. And the other is to give more, to increase. Al-kathra wa ziyada. When we look at the name Al-Afu in the Quran, we see that it comes with the name Al-Qadir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever pardoning, and Qadir, meaning He is perfectly able. Meaning when He pardons, meaning He leaves, He does not punish someone who has committed sin, it's not because of inability to punish them. Rather, it is out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity and His compassion towards His servant that He spares the servant, meaning He does not punish the servant. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. Then we see that the name عَفُو also comes with the name غَفُور, that He is forgiving. So for example, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَفُوٌ غَفُورٌ. Indeed, Allah is surely pardoning and forgiving. And as we see here, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا غَفُورًا. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is afu, He is pardoning, it means that He forgives His servants, right? And He doesn't just forgive His servants, He also erases their sins. You see, Allah is al-ghafoor, forgiving, but He is also afu, meaning He also erases the sins of His servants, and He does not punish them, He does not hold them accountable when they make tawbah to Him, when they repent to Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-afu, meaning He forgives and He erases the sins of His servants. And then secondly, it also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, He gives abundantly to His servants, meaning He is kathirul khair. He is the source of a lot of good for His servants. He gives abundantly to them. His favors are unending. He gives in the morning. He gives in the night. He is constantly increasing them in goodness. And then when we talk about the pardon that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to His servants, we see that Allah has legislated different ways for our pardon, for our forgiveness. So for example, there are certain words which if we were to say them, then our sins would be erased. And also there are actions which if we perform them, our sins are washed away, meaning they're erased. Like for example, when a person makes wudu, then the sins of that person fall off from him, right? When a person makes sajda, then again, their sins fall off from them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-afu, He forgives, He erases sins, and we see that His forgiveness is, you know, am towards all of His servants, but then it is also khas, meaning there's also a special kind of forgiveness that He offers to those who seek forgiveness from Him. And what happens with them is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. It is not just that their sins are erased, their sins are actually converted into good deeds. So this is the pardon and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His special servants. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-afu, what does that mean for us? What should we do? It means that first of all, we should also show forgiveness and pardon to people. Meaning we should overlook the mistakes of people. We should turn away from their mistakes, not focus on them, and not highlight them, and not obsess over them, and not blow them out of proportion. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so pardoning, why can we not pardon people? And when a person pardons others, when a person turns away from the mistakes of others, then this is a way of earning the love of Allah the Exalted. We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظُ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Those who suppress their anger and then also pardon people. And then it is said, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah loves those who do good. So who are those who do good? Those who suppress their anger and who also show pardon to people. So when you pardon others, when you overlook the mistakes of others, then this is a way of earning the love of Allah the Exalted. And then we see that when a person shows pardon, meaning they turn away from the mistakes of others, they don't punish them, they don't take revenge from them, then this is a sign of taqwa. This is a sign that a person is truly God-fearing. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. If you pardon, then that is closer to taqwa. And when we show forgiveness, then this means that inshallah we will also receive forgiveness. Because we learn in different ahadith and in different statements of the Salaf that those who do not show pardon, so those who do not show mercy are not shown mercy. And those who do not show pardon are not shown pardon. Meaning when you don't pardon other people, when you don't offer excuses for other people, when you don't forgive other people, when you don't overlook the faults of other people, then the same will be done to you. Meaning you will not be treated with clemency, you will not be treated with pardon and forgiveness and compassion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And then we see that when a person, you know, shows pardon to others, when a person overlooks the mistakes of others, then they also increase in their honor and in their dignity. As we learn in a hadith that وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّ, that no slave increases by showing pardon except in honor. Meaning when you show pardon to others, that is how you increase in honor and dignity. And really, if you think about it, if you have made a serious mistake, and the person against whom you've made that mistake, if they forgive you, if they pardon you, you have so much more respect for them in your heart. You have so much more appreciation for them. So showing pardon is a way of increasing in one's honor, in one's dignity. And of course, there is great reward for those who show pardon to others. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, that whoever pardons, meaning whoever, you know, forgives others and aslaha, makes amends with others, then his reward is on Allah. Meaning it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's responsibility to reward him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself to reward such a slave who shows forgiveness to other people. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-afu, he is ever pardoning, and he loves to pardon. And this means that we should also show pardon to the slaves, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at the example of, you know, the prophets and the righteous, we see that they showed pardon as well. I mean, the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave people, the way he did not take revenge from them, that is something well known. But when we look at the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see, for example, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When you know, people spread rumors about Aisha radiallahu anha, and they slandered her and accused her of things that she had not done, and they, you know, spoke really wrong things about her, they formed assumption and they passed their judgment, and they kept on saying things without even paying attention to what they were saying. And of course, this is something that hurt Aisha radiallahu anha, and this is something that hurt Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu immensely. And one of the people who was very loud in, you know, spreading rumors about Aisha radiallahu anha, or at least participating in that, was one of the relatives of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this particular relative, Mislah, he was a muhajir, meaning someone who had migrated from Mecca, and he was actually not that wealthy. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to financially help him a lot. And after this incident, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you know, he took an oath that he was never going to spend anything on Mislah again, because of the way that he had, you know, spread lies in regards to the honor and dignity of Aisha radiallahu anha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran that وَلَا يَأْتَلِي أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And the summary of this ayah is that those people to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, you know, his favor to, and he has given them ample wealth, they should not take an oath that they're not going to spend on their relatives, on those who are in need, on those who have migrated in the way of Allah. And they should وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. They should pardon and they should overlook. Because do you not like, do you not love that Allah should forgive you? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he heard this ayah, this was basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing him. So when he heard this ayah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he forgave Misbah and he continued to spend on him. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu pardoned someone, he forgave someone who had personally hurt him, who had, personally attacked his family, his daughter. Then we learn about Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu was so just. He was so fair as a ruler and he was so hardworking. And we learn that once, someone came to him and they basically accused him of being unfair. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he got really upset at that time and he was about to punish that particular individual. And someone over there recited the ayah, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. That hold on to pardon, meaning keep pardoning. Pardon once and then twice and then three times and then again and again. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. Hold on to pardon, meaning keep pardoning. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ and command what is right. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ and turn away from those who are ignorant, meaning don't listen to them. So when this ayah was recited before him, Umar radiallahu anhu stopped, meaning he pardoned that person, he ignored what that ignorant person said, and he did not punish him. So we see that this is the way of the righteous, this is the way of the successful, that they show pardon to others. And we should always remember that when my sins and my mistakes are so many, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is so forgiving that I have hope in His forgiveness. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase my sins. I want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not hold me accountable for the wrongs that I have done. Then we should also show pardon to others and not obsess over their mistakes or over their faults. When it comes to calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this name, Al-Afu, there is, of course, that famous dua, which we are supposed to recite, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, in hopes of finding Laylatul Qadr, that if we make this dua on Laylatul Qadr, then that is excellent, because this is the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. And this dua is, Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. That, O Allah, indeed you are afu, meaning you are forgiving, you are ever pardoning. Tuhibbul afwa, you love to show forgiveness. Fa'fu anni, therefore forgive me. So this is a dua that, yes, we make in the month of Ramadan, but we should also make it otherwise when we are, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that ask Allah for afu and afia, meaning ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and for safety and well-being. Because no one is given a blessing after yaqeen that is better than afia. Meaning the best blessing that you can have after faith, after conviction, is well-being. So ask Allah for what? For forgiveness and for well-being. And this is a beautiful dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, a dua that we should make in the morning and in the evening every single day. It's a little long, but this dua is so beautiful. It is so comprehensive. And this dua is, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. That, O Allah, I ask you for pardon and for well-being or for good health in this world and the next. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dini wa ahli. That, O Allah, I ask you for good health in my deen and my family. And then the dua continues, wastur awrati, this version has, wa amir rawati, wa ihfazni min bayna yadayya wa min khalfi wa an yamini wa an yasari wa min fawqi wa a'udhu bika an ughtala min tahti. There are slightly different versions of this dua. The wordings are essentially the same, and the dua begins in the same way, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah, where we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for pardon specifically. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardon us all. The next name of Allah that we will be looking at is the name of Allah, At-Tawwab. At-Tawwab, the acceptor of repentance, meaning the one who repeatedly accepts repentance from his servants. The one who repeatedly turns towards his servants over and over again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ, that indeed Allah is the accepting of repentance, the merciful. Allah is At-Tawwab, meaning the one who accepts repentance. The name At-Tawwab occurs 11 times in the Quran. And when we look at the word At-Tawwab, we see that Tawwab is the one who does the act of taba again and again and again. So there's frequency, right? But what is taba? Taba basically means arrujur. It means to return from something back to something. Okay. So when we're talking about tauba, when we talk about repentance, then of course we're talking about the slaves, human beings, people. When people do tauba, what does that mean? It means that the servant leaves the sin, right? He feels bad about it. He, you know, regrets doing it. He confesses that, you know what, I had no excuse to commit it. And then he returns from it. So tawbah is what? Returning from the sin. That you realize you're doing something wrong, but then you don't persist over there. Tawbah is that you turn back from it. You return to your, you know, previous state. Previous state of what? Of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is tawbah on the part of the slave. But tawbah on the part of Allah, what does that mean? It means that first of all, when the slave does something wrong, when a person does something wrong, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person the ability, that realization to repent. That realization that what I have done is wrong. What I have said is wrong. What I have written is wrong. I have overstepped, you know, my boundary. I should not have behaved in this way. So the first, part of tawbah from Allah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables the servant to realize his mistake, to realize, you know, his sin. Secondly, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, returns to, forgiveness towards the slave. When the servant repents. Because you see, when you realize you've done something wrong, then what does that mean? You will now think about, you know, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you will seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return to you, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show forgiveness to you. He will again become forgiving towards you. He will again bestow his favor upon you. And then it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the slave's repentance. So if you think about it, the servant, the slave, basically turns back to Allah how many times? When a person commits a sin, then how many times do they return to Allah? Once, right? That, oh, I have done something wrong. Ya Allah, I return to you from this sin. I leave this sin and I go back to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns towards his servants more than the servant turns towards Allah. How? That your tawbah, your repentance is between two tawbah from Allah. How? That firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the realization to repent. So he taba alayk, right? Then you did tawbah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted your repentance, meaning again taba alayk. So your tawbah is between two blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah the Exalted is At-Tawwab, the one who repeatedly returns to his servants, meaning he repeatedly accepts the repentance of his servants. He accepts the repentance of many servants. He accepts repentance of his slaves from many sins, from great sins. And then he returns with many favors. So this is amazing. You know, we turn once, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns again and again towards us. We learn in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, that when Adam alayhi salam made the mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. That Adam received certain words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance. So how did Adam alayhi salam learn the words of repentance? Where did he get that from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him. Allah is the one who gave him the ability to repent. And then when Adam repented, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance. In Surah At-Tawbah, we learn about the three companions who stayed back from, you know, going with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the expedition of Tabuk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding them that summa taba alayhim liyatubu. He turned towards them in order that they may repent. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned towards them. He bestowed his mercy on them so that they realized that they had done something wrong and they sought forgiveness. And when they did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardoned them. He forgave them. So always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor on you is greater than your steps towards him or your repentance towards him. We see that the name of Allah At-Tawwab in the Quran, it comes with the name Ar-Rahim. Inna Allaha huwa At-Tawwab Ar-Rahim, that indeed Allah is the accepting of repentance, the merciful. Because you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the repentance of his slave, but then he also bestows his mercy on the slave, meaning that he doesn't leave the slave after that. He also helps the slave. You see, when you leave a sin, it's very hard for you sometimes to figure out what to do instead, right? Or how to fix the damage that you have caused, or how to improve your condition. So when a person makes tawbah to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows his mercy on that person as well. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps that person. And then we see that the name of Allah At-Tawwab also comes with the name Al-Hakim, meaning the one who is wise. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ حَكِيمٌ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting of repentance, ever wise, meaning he gives time and his wisdom to his slaves so that they may return to him. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is At-Tawwab, what does that mean for us? It means that, of course, we should make tawbah to Allah again and again, because Allah loves the repentance of his slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates it very much when his servants turn back to him. In fact, they only turn back to him when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the ability to realize that they need to turn back to him. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability, that realization that you turn back to Allah, then turn back to Allah. Make tawbah to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to repent. He hasn't expected perfection from us, that we will never make a mistake, that we should never commit a sin. No, we are told that all of the children of Adam are sinful, meaning they commit sins, right? They commit errors. But the best of those who commit sins are those who repent. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. The best of those who commit errors are those who repent to Allah, who make tawbah to Allah. And when a person repents again and again to Allah, meaning you leave one sin and you return to Allah, and then you realize that you're committing another sin and you return to Allah, and then after some time you fall into another sin and you return to Allah, then this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. In the Quran, we learn, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves the people who make tawbah again and again. Meaning, every single time that you return to Allah from any sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that. Because when you return from a sin, then this means that you're answering the call of Allah. Right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited you to leave that sin and you are answering that call. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. But it's amazing how, when we make tawbah from a sin, we think that we should be perfect now. And if we fall into another sin, or if we fall into that same sin again, then we think that, you know what? I should not be seeking forgiveness because this is just who I am. I keep falling into the same sin, or I keep falling into one sin or another. Allah is not going to accept my repentance. No, the fact is that we are encouraged to be of at-tawwabin, meaning the people who constantly return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِي. Do they not know that it is Allah who in fact accepts repentance from His servants? Allah is the one who accepts repentance from His servants. So why are you shy to repent to Him? Why are you hesitating? So repent. And it doesn't matter if you've fallen into another sin or the same sin or a greater sin or a lesser sin. You are meant to make mistakes because you are human. But what makes you good is if you keep turning back to Allah. That, Ya Allah, I turn back to You, so You forgive me. Now when it comes to tawbah, in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. That, O you who believe, repent to Allah with a tawbah, with a repentance that is nasuh. Nasuh as in that is sincere, that is honest. And one of the scholars explained that what this means is that first of all, a person repents, meaning they seek forgiveness, how? With their tongue. So tawbah is first of all where? On the tongue. How? That a person seeks forgiveness. You use your tongue to seek forgiveness. That, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, I am so sorry. Ya Allah, I have done wrong. You please forgive me. So tawbah is where? It is on the tongue. Secondly, tawbah is also with the body. You turn back to Allah with your body. How? With your limbs. How? That you actually leave the sin. You no longer commit that sin with your limbs. So for example, if it is something that you wrote, you erase it. If it is something that you damaged, you go and fix it. So you leave the sin with your body, meaning you stop continuing with it. And then thirdly, tawbah is also with the heart, that with your heart turn back to Allah. And what does that mean? That in your heart you have that resolve that, you know what, I'm not going back to this sin. This was wrong. I should not have done it, and I am leaving it, and I'm not going back to it. And then finally, tawbah is also with a person's environment, meaning with your situation. At times, in order to change your actions, you have to change the environment that you're in. So turning away from such places or from situations that lead you to sin, that tempt you to do what is wrong, then that is also part of tawbah. So for example, if there's a particular app that every time you use it, you realize that you end up committing sin, then tawbah would mean that you get rid of that app, right? You delete it. You don't use it anymore. You're changing your situation, your environment. So all of this is part of tawbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do tawbah again and again. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our tawbah. How do we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by these names, by this name, At-Tawwab? We see, for example, in the Quran, the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where when he built the Kaaba, him and his son Ismail, they made different du'as, and one of the du'as was وَتُوبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. That, O Allah, accept our repentance. Indeed, You are the accepting of repentance, the merciful. So when you're making du'a, or when you have completed doing something, something good even, then end that with this du'a. That, O Allah, accept our repentance. You are the accepting of repentance, the merciful. Then we see that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would at times in a single setting, in a single sitting, say this dua almost 100 times. Okay, he would say it up to 100 times. Which dua? رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَتُبْ عَلَيَّ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الْغَفُورُ. In another version, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَتُبْ عَلَيَّ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. And what does this dua mean? That, O my Lord, forgive me and accept my repentance. Verily, You are the oft-returning, the most forgiving. And we learned that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that one could count that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said this 100 times before he would get up. He would say this so frequently, and the companions would also say this so frequently, and this shows us that this is a dua that we should actually make in our sittings. So for example, sometimes you are just sitting down, drinking your coffee, drinking your tea, maybe with your phone, you're checking your email, you're checking all the messages. Then between that, between your sips, say this dua: Rabbi ighfir li wa tub alayya innaka anta at-tawwab al-ghafur. Rabbi ighfir li wa tub alayya innaka anta at-tawwab ar-rahim. And then we see that Aisha radiallahu anha reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would frequently say, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. That Subhanallah wa bihamdi, how perfect is Allah and I praise Him. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, I seek forgiveness from Allah and I repent to Him. So he would say this very frequently. And when Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that how come you say this so frequently, He explained that basically this was because of the surah that إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدُخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. That seek for, that glorify your Lord, praise Him and seek forgiveness from Him because He is the acceptor of repentance. And then there's also another very important dua in which we say that we are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. And this dua is Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And this means that I glorify Allah and I praise Him. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except You, O Allah. I seek forgiveness from You and I repent to You. I turn back to You. And we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us to say this at the end of a gathering. Even if it is a gathering of dhikr, meaning when we have been remembering Allah. So for example, you're sitting in a class, where you have heard, a lecture about, certain verses from the Quran, for example. Then at the end, before you get up, say this dua. Because if a person, says it, then we learn in a hadith that كَانَ كَالطَّابِعِ يُطْبَعُ عَلَيْهِ. It is like a seal. Okay, it is like a seal, meaning that good deed is now sealed for him. It is preserved for that person. Subhanallah. So make it a habit to say this at the end of a gathering of dhikr. Secondly, we see that even if you've been sitting with, for example, your friends or your family, and there was some idle talk, some useless talk, where even for example, you made a mistake, like you started indulging into backbiting, for example, or you were talking about completely useless, random things, unnecessary things, which are neither beneficial in this life nor are they rewardable in the next life. So for example, you're just talking about a silly video that you saw, right? A funny video that you saw, you share a joke, etc. So this is and sometimes idle talk can even be sinful, right? So when you realize that you have spoken at length about what is unnecessary, or you have delved into conversation that was inappropriate, then you feel that you feel heavy, you feel very guilty. So immediately fix that. How? By saying this dua: Subhanaka Rabbana wa bihamdik la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka thumma atubu ilayk. Which basically means, glory be to You, our Lord, and I praise You. There is no God worthy of worship except You. I seek forgiveness for You and then I repent to You. And we learned that whoever says this at the end of a gathering in which there was some useless talk, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon him. So, don't live with that guilt. Immediately, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we see that even after making wudu, we should say this. What? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Very similar wording. In a hadith, we learned that whoever makes wudu and then says this dua, then it is written in a parchment, and then a seal is placed, which will not be broken until the day of judgment. Meaning this is a way of preserving the reward of what you just did. And because you are seeking forgiveness from Allah and you are repenting to Him, then you know you're turning back to Allah. So inshallah, the reward is preserved. And then we see even after salah, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And this is again what we learn in a hadith. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say this after salah. And then even after the recitation of the Quran, number five, after the recitation of the Quran, where Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, these are the wordings. And again, Aisha radiallahu anha reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say this at the end of the recitation of the Quran. And you see, tawbah doesn't just mean that you are, you know, returning from a sin. Tawbah also is that you are returning back to Allah, right? That you are constantly inclining, turning towards Allah, you know, seeking His approval, and trying to, you know, earn His reward. And when a person constantly turns back to Allah, you know, trying to get closer and closer to Allah, then remember that when a person takes one step towards Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes 10 steps towards him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who constantly remember Allah, constantly turn back to Allah, that when we make a mistake, we realize we don't become stubborn over there, and we have, you know, no pride that prevents us from turning back to Allah Azza wa Jal. The next name that we'll be looking at is the name of Allah, Al-Halim. Al-Halim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ. And you should know that Allah is forgiving and forbearing. Halim, meaning He is forbearing. The name Al-Halim occurs 11 times in the Quran. And Al-Halim is one who has hilm. One who has hilm. And what is hilm? Hilm is, it basically means to be calm. Okay? To be calm when in a place or in a situation when one is supposed to be angry. And it is to be deliberate, not hasty. And this is why hilm also means intelligence, to be intelligent. Why? Because only someone who has intelligence would be calm and deliberate and not hasty. And we see that hilm, you know, for example, it is said, يَحْلُمُ عَمَّنْ يَسُبُّهُ, that he treats with forbearance him who reviles him. And he imagines someone is insulting another, cursing another, and what is that other person doing? They're just calm, right? They're not getting annoyed. They're not getting angry. They're not taking any revenge. Not because they don't feel anything. Not because they don't care. Not because they don't realize. No, it's because they are so calm and so deliberate that they're not, you know, they don't get riled up. They don't get agitated. They don't explode, you know, with their anger. So hilm is essentially the opposite of two things. Okay, hilm is the opposite of two things. One, it is the opposite of ajala, of being hasty. So it is to be calm and not hasty. Secondly, it is the opposite of asaf, foolishness, meaning it is to be intelligent, not foolish. Now, if you think about it, hastiness, you know, when you're very quick in responding, you know, that someone says something mean and immediately you respond, then this is, you know, destructive behavior. Why? Because a lot of times when people say wrong things, then, you know, they're saying it because of their ignorance or because of their foolishness. And if you respond hastily, then you are basically not giving them a chance to realize their mistake and to fix, you know, the wrong that they have done. Right? You're putting them on the defensive immediately. You're not giving them a chance to realize. You're not giving them a chance to, you know, make amends. So hastiness is destructive. right? And foolishness is just foolishness. It is what it is, right? So Halim is the one who is very, very forbearing, calm, deliberate, intelligent, right? The one who does not get riled up, easily angered. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Halim, what does that mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not hasty in punishing his slaves. Meaning when his slaves do something wrong, when his slaves commit sin, he doesn't punish them immediately. It's not that the moment you do something wrong, instantly something falls from the sky and you die. That's not the case, right? There are warnings of this. There are examples of this that, you know, people are doing something wrong and in that wrong action, they're caught. But this is not the general rule, right? This is not the common way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, treats his servants. He's not hasty in punishing his slaves. And then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Halim, meaning he gives respite to the slaves so that they may repent, right? And then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Halim, meaning he continues to provide his slaves despite their wrongdoing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Halim, when we look at these names in the Quran, we see that, first of all, this name appears with the name Al-Ghafoor, meaning the one who is forgiving. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَلِيمًا غَفُورًا. Indeed, he is forbearing and forgiving, meaning he does not punish his servants immediately. And as a result of that, with time, they realize their mistake and they turn back to Allah. They seek forgiveness. And when they seek forgiveness, they find Allah forgiving, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them. And then we see that this name also appears with Al-Ghani, meaning the one who is rich or free of need. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu ghaniyun halim. Allah is rich and forbearing, meaning he is free of need of his slaves. And yet he is forbearing towards them. You see, sometimes we are forbearing towards certain individuals where we really put up with their, you know, bad behavior, with their rudeness. We will not take revenge immediately, even though we want to, but we hold back. Why? Because we need those people, right? We need those people in our lives. We need them to, you know, work with us. We need them to work for us. So even though we want to, give them a piece of our mind, but we refrain. We don't do that because we are in need of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of his servants. If he wants, he can punish those who disobey immediately. Yet he is forbearing. And this only shows us how truly great Allah the Exalted is. And then we see that this name also appears with Alim, meaning the one who knows. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَلِيمًا. Because you see, sometimes people are forbearing towards others, meaning their mistakes. Why? Because they have no idea that someone is doing something wrong. They're not taking any action against them because they don't even know in the first place, whether something wrong has been done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware. He's fully knowledgeable of the sins of his slaves. Yet he is forbearing. And then we see that the name of Allah, Halim, also appears with Shakur. Wallahu Shakurun Halim. That Allah is very appreciative and forbearing. Because if you think about it, any deed that we perform, right? Any act of worship even that we perform, it is not perfect. It's full of deficiencies. It is full of errors. And, you may have experienced, there are certain, teachers, for example, who are very hard with you on your mistakes. So, instead of giving you a 60, they will deliberately give you a 59, right? So that you lose your grade. And that could literally affect, it can have an impact on your career. Right? So there's, people are very small-hearted, right? And we only focus on the mistakes of other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shakur. He is so appreciative that he rewards his slaves abundantly. And he is Halim, meaning he knows the deficiencies, the shortcomings of his slaves, yet he is forbearing towards them. Allahu Akbar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Halim, meaning he is not hasty in punishing his slaves. And if you think about it, people say the most wrong, the most absurd, the most inaccurate, disrespectful things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes out of their pride, sometimes out of foolishness. And we as people, we do wrong, we disobey Allah, even though we know what sin is. We know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. But despite the fact that there's so much disobedience going on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish his slaves immediately, because he is Halim. He knows what his slaves are doing, yet he does not punish them immediately. And remember that Hilm can only be on the part of, one who is able to show anger, who is able to punish. Okay? Hilm can only be on the part of one who is able to take revenge, who is able to show anger, right? Because only then it is a sign of strength. If someone, does not get angry because they know that they cannot do anything, they're helpless, even if they get angry, then that is not strength. That is not powerful. That just shows they're so weak. They're so incapable. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully able to punish his servants, yet he is forbearing towards them. So in the Quran we learn, وَلَوْ يُؤَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. If Allah were to punish people for their wrongdoing, he would not have left on the earth a single living creature. Meaning, then his punishment, his anger, his wrath would fall upon them, and nobody would be able to survive. This earth would not survive, because our sins are so many. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Halim, meaning he gives time to his servants so that they can realize their mistake, they can, be better, they can seek forgiveness. And you think about it, sometimes when you take a course, the first test that you take, you don't really get great marks. But then by the time that the second, test comes around, you kind of have, a better understanding of the, course content, so you study harder. But imagine if your entire grade depended on one test. Right? One test. That would be so hard. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not treat us like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a chance to learn from our mistakes, to realize our mistakes so that we can improve our condition. We see that in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that indeed Allah the Exalted extends his hand out in the night, meaning inviting his servants to repent. Why? So that the person who committed sin by, daytime can now repent in the night, right? And then the person who committed sin in the night can now repent in the daytime. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always inviting his servants to repent to him. And then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Halim, meaning even though people do such, wrong things, he still continues to provide them. This is his hilm, that he does not withhold his favors from them because of their sinning. Think about it. If someone does something wrong to you, right? Even if it's your own children, what do? Consequences, right? Your privileges will be taken away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not treat us like that. Meaning for every sin, he doesn't give us consequences immediately, right? This is his forbearance towards us. So what should we do when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Halim? It means that first of all, when we do something wrong, we should not get deceived, we should not get fooled by his forbearance. That because I was not punished, because I didn't see any negative consequences of the sin that I just committed, I'm fine, I'm good. Nothing bad is going to happen to me. No, in a hadith we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives respite to the wrongdoer. Until when he seizes him, he does not leave him. Meaning you have time until you are spared until a certain time, until a certain point. But then after that, there's no more chances. So don't get deceived by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forbearance. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Halim, this means that we should also show hilm to people, meaning we should also be tolerant and forbearing. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves hilm. In a hadith, we learned that once some people came to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you know, everybody, as soon as they arrived, they just ran towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam exactly as they were. And you can imagine they were traveling from a far distance. They were, you know, covered in dust. Their clothes were dirty. They were sweaty. They were tired, etc. But one of them, he actually went, he washed up, he changed, and then he came and met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him that you have two qualities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And one of them he mentioned is al-hilm, meaning forbearance. So hilm, when people, they are forbearing towards others, they are patient with others, then this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And in hilm is strength, right? Meaning when you are tolerant of the mistakes of people, then this shows that you are strong on the inside. But when you're intolerant, where every little thing, every little mistake, you know, is annoying you, it is bothering you, then this shows that there is inner weakness. And we see that when we show hilm, then this is really the way of islah. This is really the way of correcting people. You see, for example, when a child is learning how to write, you have to allow children to make mistakes, right? Make mistakes, get messy, because that is how you learn. And if they're not allowed to make any mistakes, then they get scared, right? And they get extremely discouraged and they don't want to try. So the way of hilm is the way of islah. It is the way of winning hearts. When we don't show hilm, we make matters worse, right? This is destructive. Our immediate judgment of people, our immediate criticism, our wrath, our fury, you know, it puts people on the defensive. And then what happens is that instead of paying heed to what we, want from them, they're so focused on defending themselves, you know, because their ego has been hurt, their self-respect has been hurt. So they don't care about what you are advising them with. They're just only concerned about defending themselves. So hilm leads to islah. It leads to, you know, people correcting themselves, improving themselves, and intolerance, impatience is, you know, it is destructive. It is damaging. And then we see that hilm is also the way of the righteous. Ibrahim alayhi salam is described in the Quran as Inna Ibrahim lahalimun awwahum munib. Ibrahim alayhi salam was halim, meaning very forbearing. His son Ismail, fabasharnahu bighulamin halim. A very forbearing son, like father, like son. And then we see that, you know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Halim, then we should also show tolerance to people. You see, people do not spare anyone, right? People say wrong things about Allah. They said wrong things about the prophets of Allah. They accused the prophets of Allah. So what do you think? Are you going to be spared? Nobody is going to be spared. You are going to get hurt by what people say and by what people do. So you have to develop calmness, you have to develop tolerance and forbearance, where you learn to overlook and ignore, you know, the wrong in other people, and you don't get, you know, emotional right away. You don't get, frazzled, you don't get annoyed, you don't become impulsive, basically, right? Halim is someone who is not impulsive, someone who is very deliberate and careful. So how can we develop hilm? How can we be more forbearing? First of all, develop compassion for people, right? Be merciful towards them. That instead of just looking at, oh, how dare they attack me? How dare they disobey me? How dare they, do this wrong? Look at it this way, that, oh, poor guy, he doesn't realize, right? Poor child doesn't know, right? So when you look at people with compassion, that
they don't understand. They don't know. They don't even know this much. Then you're not going to get angry with those who are ignorant. You're going to be very, very tolerant and forbearing. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the famous incident where that man came, that Bedouin came, and he grabbed, the shawl of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and pulled it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was moving at that time. So basically, the shawl rubbed against the neck of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leaving a mark. And that Arabi, that Bedouin, said to him, "That give me some of the wealth that Allah has given you." What was the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That how dare you touch me? How dare you touch my clothes? How dare you demand like this? First, go learn some adab and then talk to me. No, we learn in hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually laughed. And he smiled at that man. Why? Because he knew that this Arabi, this Bedouin, was so eager to get worldly things, to get money, that he couldn't wait. Right? He was coming, from his small-mindedness, and this is the reason why he was behaving the way he was behaving. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just smiled. He just laughed. So when you have compassion towards people, when you have empathy, when you realize why they're saying what they're saying, why they're doing what they're doing, then you don't get annoyed immediately, right? Understand the weaknesses of people. Understand their imperfection, and you will have empathy towards them. And then also remember that as long as you are forbearing and you show pardon to people, then you will also receive the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another thing that can help us develop hilm is the fear of Allah. That if we are not forbearing towards people, and we start pointing out every single fault in them, that, oh, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you made this mistake, you didn't do this. And you know what? Sometimes this is all that we're focused on. Within a household, what's happening? For example, a woman is constantly counting since morning what her husband did not do, right? You did not put your cup away. You did not, put the garbage away. You did not put your dishes away. You did not do this. You did not do that. If you're so focused on the mistakes of other people, then just consider for a moment, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held you accountable for every wrong thing and every wrong thought that you have had since the morning? Just think about it. Every single wrong action that you've done, or every deficiency of yours. Yani, even when we pray salah, there are so many imperfections. Where is our mind, right? Constantly wandering. Sometimes we make mistakes in salah, we don't even realize we've made mistakes, right? So show forgiveness to other people, be forbearing towards them, in hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be forbearing towards you. You don't be so hard on others, in hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be easy with you. How to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this name? A beautiful dua. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say this dua during affliction, meaning عند الكرب, when he was in some difficulty, then he would say this dua. What is this dua? La ilaha illallahu al-azeemul haleem. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah, who is al-azeem, the great, al-haleem, the forbearing. La ilaha illallahu rabbul arshil azeem. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah, who is the Lord of the great throne. La ilaha illallah rabbus samawat wa rabbul ard wa rabbul arshil kareem. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah, who is the Lord of the skies and the Lord of the earth and the Lord of the noble throne. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say this when in a state of karb. And this is a habit that we should also develop, that when we are experiencing some difficulty, some anxiety, whether it is because of our family or because of our financial condition or because of what someone has said to us, then say these words, La ilaha illallahul azeemul haleem. You see, we mention the name Al-Halim over here, that Allah is forbearing, that we hope that, you know, what we are experiencing is not a punishment from Allah, because Allah is Al-Halim, right? We declare His oneness. Why? Because what we're saying is that everything is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control, right? So say this dua when you are in difficulty as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make matters easy for you. The next is the name of Allah, Al-Hayy. Notice this is different from Al-Hayy. Al-Hayy is the ever-living. This is Al-Hayy. There's two ya's over here. And Al-Hayy is the one who has haya, meaning the one who is very modest, the one who is very shy. This name of Allah appears in the Sunnah. It doesn't occur in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna rabbakum tabaraka wa ta'ala hayyun kareemun yastahyi min 'abdihi." That your Lord, the Blessed and Exalted, is modest and generous. Hayy, He is ever modest. Kareem, He is ever generous. Yastahyi min 'abdihi, He is shy of His slave. Idha rafa'a yadayhi ilayhi an yaruddahuma sifra. That when the slave raises his hands before Allah, begging Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shy to return them empty-handed, meaning He would never return such hands of His slave without gain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put something in those hands. He will give something to His servants. So we see in this hadith that the name of Allah, Hayy, is mentioned. Haya, like I mentioned, Hayy is one who has haya. And haya, generally we translate it as, you know, modesty or shyness. Haya is basically to feel, it's described as a shrinking of the soul from foul conduct, okay? Meaning that basically a person feels apprehension or uncomfortable, very uneasy about, doing something that they believe is unpleasant, right? That they believe is wrong, that they believe is, incorrect. Why? They shrink from it. They have apprehension towards it out of fear of blame, right? Or out of that belief that, you know, this is something wrong. So haya is basically that feeling within a person which prevents them from doing what is wrong. It prevents them from exceeding what is acceptable, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, in a hadith we learn, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. That when you don't have haya, when you don't have shyness, then do whatever you want. Why? Because shyness, haya, it withholds you, it prevents you, it stops you from foul conduct, right? From doing what is wrong. And when a person does not have haya, then they basically do whatever they want. They basically say whatever they want. So hayy is one who has haya. Now remember that when it comes to shyness, right, or shame, there is a healthy expression of shame or haya, and there's an unhealthy expression of shame or haya. A healthy expression of haya, for example, is that out of haya, a person does not, you know, say rude words, okay? Or that the way that a person talks to others, they are respectful. Why? Out of shyness. They're too shy to use foul language, okay? An unhealthy expression of haya is, for example, out of, you know, shame, out of shyness, a person does not recite Quran, right? Or does not, you know, pray Salah because, oh, others are going to watch me and it's too embarrassing. So you see, haya is that feeling from inside that's going to prevent you from doing something. There's a healthy aspect of it and there's an unhealthy aspect of it. So when we're talking about haya, that is praiseworthy or that we're supposed to have, then it's always the praiseworthy one. It's always the healthy one, right? Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hayy, what does that mean? I want you to think about this hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah is hayy and he is too shy to return the slaves of his servant empty-handed, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always puts something in the raised hands of his slave. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's haya is haya of generosity, okay? Meaning he is hayy, so he is not stingy. Rather, he is generous. He is hayy, so he is not, harsh and unfair. Rather, he is compassionate towards his servants. He is hayy, which is why he shows pardon to his servants. He is hayy, meaning he is shy to, or meaning he would not, reject the istighfar of his servants. Rather, he would pardon them. He would show mercy to them, and he would show compassion towards them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's haya is not like the haya of people. It is the haya of generosity. Okay, it is the haya of compassion, pardon, and mercy. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayy, it means that he is kathirul haya, right? So he continues to give. He continues to, conceal the sins of his slaves, and he continues to spare his servants also, where he keeps giving them chances, right? And he keeps, concealing their sins so that they realize and they turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayy, what does that mean for us? This means that we should also have haya, because Allah is hayy and he also likes haya. And remember that when it comes to haya, we must learn what the proper expression of haya is. Okay? Sometimes what happens is that we think haya is just in, clothing, or haya is, just in, a woman being hidden always, right? Haya is more than just that. Haya, we see, the right expression of haya is that a person is shy to be verbally abusive. A person is shy to, do what is wrong or to say what is wrong. We learn in the Quran that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, that indeed Allah is not shy to give the example of a mosquito or what is more insignificant than that. Meaning Allah is not shy of the truth, right? وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ, Allah is not shy of the truth. So we should have haya, but that haya should not mean that we are too shy to speak the truth, to believe in the truth, to live the truth. Then we see that, once some people came in the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one person, he came forward, and he found a spot and he sat there all the way at the front. Another person, he just sat at the back. Another person, he came and he was too shy and he left, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the third person that fastahya fastahya Allahu minhu. When he was too shy, meaning as a result of his shyness, he did not come forward, he turned away, then Allah also turned away from him. So we should have the right kind of shyness, not shyness that prevents us from doing what is right. And then we see that Sulaym radiallahu anha, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once and she said that Allah is not shy of the truth, right? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ, Allah is not shy of the truth. And then she asked a question. So meaning it was a very awkward question, but she wanted to know what the truth was. So she began with the statement that Allah is not shy of the truth. So I want to learn what the truth is about this matter, what the right thing to do is. So we should have haya, but the right kind of haya, meaning its expression should be in the right place and in the right way. In a hadith, we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that innal haya'a al-afafu wal-iyya, that haya, afaf, and iyyul lisani la iyyul qalb. It is the ri of the tongue, not that of the heart. Meaning that modesty, abstinence, and restraint. Okay? Modesty, abstinence and restraint, this is the restraint of the tongue, not of the heart. All right? Not of the heart. Meaning, in your heart, you're supposed to have, the right iman, right? You believe in the truth. You're passionate about it. But what restraint means is that you restrain your tongue, right? That shyness should prevent you from saying what is inappropriate, from saying what is wrong. And, you know, sometimes we become so aggressive in talking to people, in advising people, so aggressive and so rude and so shameless in the way that we talk to people. You know, we have heard a few things, we have read a few lines, and we think that we know everything. And we are, you know, the most learned, and our judgment concerning certain matters is the absolute ultimate truth, and everyone must adhere to that. And then we start imposing it on people, and we come across as so, you know, aggressive and harsh and rude. And this is not correct, because restraint is supposed to be in the tongue. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayy, we should also have haya, the right kind of haya, meaning we should express it in the right way. Secondly, we should have haya of Allah. We should have haya of Allah, meaning we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, right? That there is no place, no time when we can hide from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا تَكُونُ فِي شَأْنٍ وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا كُنَّا عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا. That you are not in any state, meaning no matter what state you're in, no matter what portion of the Quran you recite, no matter what deed you are performing, except that we are witnesses over you. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witnessing, He is watching you, you know, in whatever state that you're in, you are being watched by Allah. So have haya of Allah, right? Have shyness of Allah, that my Lord is watching me. In a hadith, we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to a man that I advise you to be modest in front of Allah as you would be modest in front of a righteous man among your people. Meaning, how would you behave if a righteous person appeared before you? You would become so polite, so careful, you know, so deliberate, so kind. You know, you would start making dhikr. You know, you would guard your eyes. You would become so careful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching you. Have haya of Allah as well. Then we learned that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that be modest before Allah as is his right. So the people said, O Messenger of Allah, we are modest before Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, rather, modesty before Allah as is his right is that you guard the head and whatever that runs through it. Okay? You guard the head and whatever that it contains, meaning that whatever goes through your mind, right, your thoughts, you guard them. What is on your head? You have your ears, you have your eyes, right? You have your mouth. So what are you doing? What are you listening to? What are you saying? What are you looking at? Have haya of Allah with regards to what you are listening to, what you're saying, what you're looking at, what you're thinking. Have haya of Allah. And then he said, and guard the stomach and what it contains, what fills the stomach. Meaning, what are you eating? Where are you getting that from? How much are you eating? Right? How excessively are you eating? How greedily are you eating? Did you even thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it? And to reflect upon death and trials. Right? So this is to have the right kind of haya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayy, it also means that we should keep calling upon Allah. Because when Allah is al-hayy, as we learn in the hadith, he is shy to return the slave's hands empty-handed, right? Meaning he will definitely give the slave something. So always ask Allah, always call upon him. And what that means is that even if you are not going to be given right away what you asked for, right? You're going to be given something. You're going to be given something. And what could that something be? It could be something better. It could be something lesser. It could be the immediate reward of, you know, remembering Allah, of talking to Allah, of making dua, of worshiping Allah, of obeying His command that you know, you should make dua, Allah will give you something. So never hesitate and never stop calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is Al-Hayy, the one who is shy, the one who is modest, the one who is ever generous, ever compassionate. So be hopeful and keep calling upon Allah. Then we will look at the name of Allah, As-Sittir. As-Sittir, the ever concealing, or the one who conceals his servants. Now, the name of Allah, As-Sittir, again, it appears in the Sunnah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah azza wa jalla halimun hayyun sittirun." Three names of Allah are mentioned here. That indeed Allah is forbearing, he is shy, and he is sittir, meaning he conceals the servants. يُحِبُّ الْحَيَاءَ وَالسَّتْرِ, he loves haya, modesty, and as-satr, concealment. Therefore, فَإِذَا اغْتَسَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْتَتِرِ, so when any one of you takes a bath, then let him conceal himself. So the name as-sittir appears in the Sunnah. Now as-sittir is one who conceals again and again, and satr or sitr, okay, basically mean to veil, to conceal, to cover something. Why? In order to hide it. So sittir like siddiq, meaning the one who conceals again and again, right? So it denotes frequency and repetition of the action. So remember that it is sittir, not sattar, okay? Because some people think that the name is sattar. It is not sattar. The name of Allah is sittir, okay? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sittir, what does that mean? It means that He conceals His servants in this world and in the hereafter, right? Meaning that He conceals their sins. He covers their sins in different ways. And in the hereafter also, He will cover the sins of His righteous servants, right? That famous hadith in which we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to the believer in private, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him acknowledge his sins, that did you commit this? Did you commit this? And the servant will acknowledge, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold him accountable, will not question him in front of everybody so that his sins are exposed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. As-Sittir, the one who conceals his servants in this world and in the hereafter. He is As-Sittir, which is why he commands that people should conceal themselves, right? They should cover themselves. And he is a sittir, meaning he does not like the exposure of what is indecent, right? He does not like that indecency, you know, should spread among people or should be spoken of. And when it comes to, you know, people concealing themselves, this is, of course, in the tangible way where people conceal their, you know, body, their aura, parts of the body that should be covered, meaning that that people should not be naked. And then secondly, concealing oneself is also in the intangible sense, where you conceal your deficiencies and your sins, meaning you don't go on exposing your sins. You don't go on telling people about your sins. Why? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed your sin, it means that He has favored you, right? It means that He has given you, He has granted you security. Why? So that you repent to Allah, you seek forgiveness from Allah, you make use of the time that He has given you, you worship Him so that inshallah, by the time you know, you meet Him, you earn His forgiveness, and then your matter in the hereafter is good. But if you conceal your sin, then this is, if you expose your sin, then this is problematic in many ways. And inshallah, we'll talk about that. In a hadith, we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that everyone from my ummah will be forgiven except those who sin in public. Among them is a man who commits an evil deed in the night that Allah has hidden for him. Meaning in the night, a person did something really wrong, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concealed that sin for him. Why? Because it was the night, nobody found out. But then in the morning, that person says, "O people, I have committed this sin." Subhanallah. "O people, I have committed this sin." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually concealed his sin, but this person went and exposed his sin to others. So such people are not pardoned. right? Such people are not pardoned. Who is pardoned? Who is forgiven? The one who's, you know, everybody, right? Except for those who go and expose their sins. So remember that sitr, concealment, is actually a blessing from Allah the Exalted. It is a favor from Allah. Because if all of our sins were exposed, yani, it would be so embarrassing. If sins had a smell, then we wouldn't be able to sit next to each other. We wouldn't be able to be with one another. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals our sins, He is bestowing a huge favor upon us. You know, the ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً, that Allah has amply bestowed upon you His blessings, both ظَاهِرَ وَبَاطِنَةً, meaning the manifest and the hidden. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said about this, that ni'ma al-zahira, the really obvious manifest blessing, is the blessing of Islam, the blessing of Quran. And the batina, the hidden blessing, is the fact that Allah conceals your sins for you. And He does not punish you immediately. Allah does not punish you immediately, rather He conceals your sins for you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals your sins, what should you do? When Allah is as-sittir, what are we supposed to do? It means that first of all, we're supposed to honor the sitr and appreciate the sitr that Allah has cast on us. When Allah has covered our sins, we should not expose them. We should not go and talk about them. Why? Because when you do that, you belittle yourself in your own eyes. You degrade yourself in the eyes of people. You make people a witness against yourself. And you are basically promoting a culture of disobedience, that people will think, hey, she you know, committed sin, or he committed sin, I can also do it, right? And openly flaunting one's sins is basically what? Disrespect to the commands of Allah. That, yeah, I know this is haram, but you know what? I had to do this, right? It was fun. Astaghfirullah. Yani, this is extreme disrespect to Allah. And it only creates a culture of disobedience. It only encourages people to, commit more sin. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sittir, what does that mean? It means that we should cover ourselves, meaning properly cover our bodies. And this is for both men and women. You know, sometimes when we're talking about modesty or, you know, proper covering, etc., we think that this is only for women, but this is also for men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا, that all children of Adam, we have indeed sent down upon you clothing which hides your body, and it's also, you know, a means of adornment for you. So yes, clothing, you know, beautifies you, but that's not the only objective of clothing. It's meant to conceal us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated this for us. He commanded us that we should cover ourselves properly. Then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sittir, it means that we should also conceal other people, meaning that we should, you know, conceal the sins of others. That even when we find out, you know, we have a feeling sometimes that someone has done something wrong, then don't talk about it, right? Don't spread it. Don't gossip. Because people who speak of the sins of others without evidence, then for them is severe punishment, right? Hurling accusations at innocent people. And remember, a person is innocent until proven guilty, right? So hurling accusations at people, this is something that brings about a legal punishment, which is known as had qadaf, right? The punishment of slander. And this means that we should also conceal the faults of others so that we can be concealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal our faults, our sins. In a hadith we learn that لا يستر عبد عبدا في الدنيا إلا ستره الله يوم القيامة. No slave conceals another slave except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal him on the day of judgment. Meaning when you conceal, you know, the sin of another, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal your sins on the day of judgment. You see, sometimes what happens is that given that you are close friends or that you are close family, you know, you end up seeing, wrong things or mistakes of, you know, of the people who are closest to you. So when you expose them, you tarnish their reputation, you embarrass them, then this is not healthy behavior at all. You're putting yourself at risk. We learned that once a man asked Hassan al-Basri that I know about a certain sin that, you know, a person commits. Should I tell people about it? He said, "Ya subhanallah, la." He said, "Oh subhanallah, do not do that. Do not do that." And remember that if someone made a mistake once upon a time in the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala buried it in the past. Let it remain buried. We learned that once a man proposed the sister of another man for marriage. And what happened is that the man, meaning the brother of that woman, he said to the guy that, you know, my sister committed zina once upon a time. So Umar radiallahu anhu, when he found out that the man said this about his sister, he almost beat him. Why? He said, "Ma laka walil khabar." Why did you have to say that? You have no right to say that. What she did in the past, what she did of sin, is, you know, between her and her Lord. Now you don't go telling other people, right? So what has happened in the past has happened. And sometimes people make this huge mistake where they actually ask one another, what sin did you commit? Right? Tell me about your past sins. Subhanallah, people are getting married and they start, asking each other. Or after marriage, they ask each other, so did you have an affair with anybody? Did you have a boyfriend? Did you have a girlfriend? Did you have a crush on someone? Did you have a relationship with anybody? What benefit is this information? This is useless information. In fact, you are exposing your sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concealed for you. So don't do that. Do not expose the sins of others and do not expose your own sins. Even when it comes to the dead, meaning when someone has died, then you should conceal him. So for example, in a hadith we learned that man ghasala maytan fasatarahu satarahu Allah min adh-dhunub, that whoever gives a bath to a deceased person and conceals him. Because sometimes what happens is that when you're giving a bath to, you know, the deceased, you witness certain things which can be very frightening, like for example a stench, or for example certain things which make you wonder what kind of a person were they, right? Or the fact that their body was not clean at all, or for example a woman, you know, she's got fake nails and or hair dye, and so the color of the hair dye is constantly coming off, any things like that. When you witness something like this when giving a bath to the deceased, conceal that information. Don't go on telling everybody about it. Why? Because when you will do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal your sins. And this is, you know, really wanting the best for other people, that you conceal their sins for them. You don't publicly shame them. Remember that, you know, publicly shaming people, that has its place and its, you know, certain reasons. But it is not the general rule. The general rule is that you conceal the sins of people and your own sins. It is only in exceptional cases, where you are supposed to, publicize the wrong of certain individuals. And that has its reasons, which we're not going to be discussing right now. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sittir, it means that we should also not pursue the faults of other people, right? That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden them, let them remain hidden. Don't form assumptions and then go and investigate and then spy. No, don't do that. Because when you will pursue the faults of other people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate such a person. We learn in a hadith that Allah will search for his fault. And if Allah searches for the fault of anyone, he disgraces him in his own house. Meaning a person will not even be safe in his own house. Then we see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sittir, that means that we should seek, that we should beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to conceal, you know, our sins, to conceal our faults. And in order to do that, we should give sadaqah. We should give charity. We learn the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever is able among you to conceal himself, أَن يَسْتَتِرَ مِنَ النَّارِ, then to conceal himself from the fire, then he should do that even if it is by half of a date. Right? Meaning give sadaqah. And then finally, control your temper. Why? Because in a hadith we learn, وَمَنْ كَفَّ غَضَبَهُ سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ. Whoever restrains his anger, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults and his deficiencies. How can we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this name? Same dua, اللهم إني أسألك العافية في الدنيا والآخرة. In the morning and in the evening, part of this dua is Allahumma astur awrati. You can see in the second line, Allahumma astur awrati, that oh Allah, conceal my faults, right? Conceal my faults, wa amir rawati, and calm my fears. And this is again a beautiful dua that we should make in the morning and the evening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardon us. May He conceal our mistakes. May He give us the realization to repent from our sins, and may He accept our repentance. Inshallah, we'll conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you.